This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Joe Singh.
Alison Milden.
And I am Stuart Burks. Okay, now Joe, you are a long-standing personality in Palmerston North, aren't you? You came here when you were...
Oh, when I first arrived, I was about between 5 and 6, give or take a few months either way. And I look like, and I could honestly say when I look at the photograph of myself, beside the old Hillman car, with a pea shooter in my pocket, with a smile grin, that I could be the epitome of a young Maori boy. I was sunburnt, and I had that, of course, you didn't have your hair done, it was just a mess. Oh. And I look at that photograph now, and I think, my God, that was a long time ago.
So, and where did you come from?
Oh, I was born in Shanghai. Apparently, my mother's people had business up there as such. Then there was rumblings of the war coming, and then we moved back to what's known as Canton, which is now known as Guangzhou, which is approximately in miles, about 100 miles from Hong Kong.
And this was about 1940 you were born?
Oh, 1940-something, then, more or less.
Yeah.
And then we stayed in. My father had already came over to New Zealand and had a business in New Plymouth, but I'm the third generation. My father came over and he was a fruiterer, and then he had apparently he employed about 5 or 6 people in New Plymouth. But my grandfather came over, and I don't know whether he came from Australia, because that's where the gold originally started, and then he came over to South Island, and he apparently didn't do any much good, because all you had in those days was the tail ends of anything, because don't forget, we, as far as the locals were concerned, we were invaders trying to get the same thing everybody, trying to make a living. So in the end, he apparently took on to be a trader. Trader in those days was a pole, two lots of baskets, one in front, one in back, and necessaries like veggies, fruit, whatever there was, but most importantly was liniments and things like preserves from home, and he'd go from camp to camp. And I suppose in those days, if you got a shilling's worth of sales in a couple of days, that was a big deal. So anyway, my father thought, right, well, bring the family over, which was my mother and I. And those days, Palmerston North had approximately 4 or 5 ladies in total of Chinese descent. And it was also just after the poll tax situation. But you see, long history back in those days, and it was the Japanese War, it was just after the war, and also it was not quite the Australian white policy, but we were, competing for the same things that people were already trying to make a living from. That was gold mining and anything else. They've already done the railway tracks. Oh, around about, when we first came over, it was fine. Interesting. Stopped at Australia.
Now, can I just ask, because you said you were third generation, but your grandfather came over, then your father. So it wasn't come over, have a family, and you're third generation through that. It's a matter of you have the family back in China, the man comes over,
that's
and
right.
Then later the son came over, and then you came over as well. Yes. So that's and the...
That's the third generation. Yep. That's how the system works.
Yeah.
The system works as such, too. Interesting enough, you'll be finding that not so much now, maybe 40, 50 years ago, you look at this Chinese fellow and you think, my God, he's supposed to be 70, but he's no. Oh, he looks so young for 70. It was probably about a 50-year-old. I remember a chap named Yum Joe in Karori Road. And a custom man, Frank Savage, used to come in and buy fruit, etc. And he says, tell me, he says, what is the secret? And in my limited English at that age, when I was around about 15 or thereabout, I said, what secret? And he said, Yum, out at the Karori Road, he looks like 50, but I'll swear that if I had go to court, he'd be about 70. Well, it didn't catch on till later on when I was told how the system works. Chinese couldn't come over for various reasons, and the only way that they could come over was when one of the Chinese people that was already had a permanent residence paper went home. It wasn't going to come back again. And they were able to purchase those entry papers. So it might be, instead of Joe Singh, that guy might be Wu Fong Dong. So you had to come over as Wu Fong Dong, age 40, when you're only 20. Because there was no photographs, no fingerprinting, and that was the only way they could get them. So it's quite interesting. But most of those are now have passed on as such. But it's quite interesting. It's like, oh my God, he's so young. What's the secret? I used to tell occasionally, they say, lots of tiger balm.
Yeah. Not you should have said opium.
Talking about the opium, I'll just digress. People think, you know, oh, opium. Oh, the scourge of China. The scourge of the Chinaman is the word it's used. Correct. That scourge of the Chinaman came because the British wanted to trade, but that's the only way they could control the people.
Yeah, they didn't want anything. Had to create a market, so they created a market for opium. And when the Chinese said, we don't want any opium coming in, they went in and bombarded the harbours.
Two wars.
Yeah.
And we lost both of them because you couldn't compete with gunpowder, with your kung fu and spear.
Yeah.
Anyway, that interrupted that. So the situation was, that's how it came back. Now, names. Let's start with names. Joe Singh. Oh, yeah. Because that was a name when you arrived in the country, it was like a school roll. What's your name? Joe. What's your other name? Singh. Right. Joe Singh. Bang. Pass. And we always start with the surname. So, Joe Singh. And that's how all of them, even likes of Thackeray, well-known restaurateur, his name is not Thackeray. Chin is his name. So they kept it, the children had kept it. But got to the stage when my kids were about 25. I said, look, this is not on. That's not our name. I said, all right, what do we do about it? And he says, well, we want to change it back to Joe. And I said, Ming Joe, my wife, I said, now I've used her new name. I said, what do you want? She says, oh, it doesn't worry me. So Kwok Joe, Joe Kwok became Kwok Joe. Joe Stella became Stella Joe. And then they said, well, we want you to change. I said, no way. I've been in the business for 30-odd, 40 years. Nobody will know who this Singh Joe is. They said, oh, it must be cousin. Mm. And you don't do that for sake of continuity of the business. So there is that big confusion.
Yes.
And that's what happened. So anyway, back to starting from there. We came back, I have to tell you this, the first time I eaten European food. We stopped at this Chinese Doss house. It's a good word to describe it. Very nice people. And every morning, he'd put up a big pile of cut bread and a big jar of jam. And what's that? What is it? And somebody says, oh, try it. You've put this and you've put this on it and it's very nice. Got a, because we're very hungry in those days. And got a piece of bread, got this raspberry jam it was, and started to eat it. Oh, my God, I was in heaven. It was so nice. I had another piece and another piece. Anyway, I got filled. That was the first introduction to European food, and it was wonderful. So we went from there. We came over on a boat, and from the boat, we hopped into Wellington, stayed for another Chinese doss house for about a week while my father went and sorted out his old shop. Where my first introduction to the dairy business, directly opposite was the Wellington Dairy Milk Company. And every morning you hear these horses, trick-trot, 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 rattle, rattle, rattle. Now, what a wonderful introduction to a new country. Anyway, after a while, father came back and said, I'm sorry, but the shop's been sold underneath me. Because during part of that war business, he had to go back. He couldn't come back in time. So the cousin that he trusted looked after it. But another cousin who would like to have the business convinced him that there was no way old Joe would be able to come back because there's a war on. And the other guy started to panic, so he sold him the business. So when we came back, there was no business. Father came down and said, there was no business. We had no money either. There was absolutely nothing. Yeah. Now, in Cuba Street, there are two...
That's in Wellington, you mean?
No, Palmerston, sorry. Then we moved to Palmerston North because in Cuba, all the Joes, now this is interesting. The Joe clan, and the Joe clan's a bit like the Irish, the Scottish, even the British, they all cluster together. So if you're a McDuff, all the McDuffs, because they're all related, interrelated. Anyway, all the Joes started to congregate in Palmerston North. You are either not a dry cleaner, a laundry, a market gardener, or if you could speak a couple of words of English, a fruit and veggie. Well, when we came up to Palmerston, we had nowhere to stay. Now, there was an old shop, and people of that age group will remember Watty Franks that had a newspaper stand in Cuba Street, directly opposite the old government house, and next door was a laundry. Chinese laundry, and they used to have collars that they take in, and for a penny they'd be clean and starched and ironed against the old fashioned iron thing you put it up against and got it heated. Well, he had a coal shed, and half the coal shed was empty because he couldn't fill it all up, and he offered that to us for us to stay and live there until situation became better.
You lived in a coal shed?
In a coal shed.
There was a floor, curtains and window? Was there a heat?
No. It was just a coal shed with a wee window. And I tell you what, if you think cold was being cold here in New Zealand at the moment with what we've got, forget it. We could be used as storage for the new...
The new virus.
Injections, because it was... close to minus whatever it was.
Yeah.
Stayed there for 6 months, and mum used to iron the collars for a halfpenny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes.
So and then, it was just you, and your parents.
Yes, and then my father went to start looking for work. But looking for work is like a leper being employed by a high-class restaurant as a... what do you call those guys? Not a servant, waiter. No way. So anyway, then across the road, Watty Franks, very nice people. He came back from war and he had one arm. And they must have felt sorry for me because they used to be able to buy comics. They had a newsstand, new comics for whatever it was. And then he'd trade in the old comics. And then he had second-hand comics that were half of the price, or two of your ones for one of his other ones. And he used to give me a pile of them and couldn't read a word, because he knew nothing. That's great. But he took me down, the first time he ever had a holiday, took me down to Paikokoriki Beach where they had a batch. And I didn't know what was going on. He just put me in his car and we went down there. Must have got permission somehow. And I spent 3 or 4 days down there, and it was wonderful. This is from a perspective of somebody from a new land that knew nothing, know nothing, and everything was wonderful. Anyway, across the road was a laundry, who wanted to go home, and he wanted to get rid of the shop. And I think you can still see it where Wally Harris used to have his magazine posters. There's an old bit of wood that says something Lee Laundry, but whether it's still there or not, I don't know. So we moved into that, and my father opened a fruit shop, because that was all that was available. And the front part was the fruit shop. The back part, the size of which would be what we would call an average house, double bedroom house, with a back door that went out to the back. And we stayed there, many, many years. Anyway, funny thing, it's people jumping up and down about sanitary and all the, I want it, not quite want it now, very few. I've got to be very careful that you can't compare 70 years ago, being 80 now, you can't compare then to now. But there was a Greek fish and chip shop on one side. There was a little grocer shop on this, between the fish and chip shop and our little laundry place. It used to be owned by Hopwoods. Hopwood used to own quite a lot of those buildings. And now we had to wash the vegetables. Now, talking about hygiene, right behind us, in front of the two wooden carry tubs, if only we had those now, back of us was three toilets. And you had to go up a big high step. And one of them, I reckon it took us 6 months to learn how to pull the plunger so that it would come down on time and flush it out. That was so crude it was.
And it was a special knack to it?
Or yes, yes. Oh, okay. Yes. You pulled it, yes. It just nothing happened. You had to pull it halfway and you give it another jerk and away it'll go. And the other embarrassing bit was in the end when the fishing ship went away, it closed. First coffee bar in Palmer's North, the Fiesta. And it was Charlie Pospala Tumas or something. He was Czechoslovakian. And it was, I never thought about it. We're washing away on the, but all the vegetable came with dirt and clothes to it. And you fill up your tub and you wash them. And these poor girls and ladies would come out the back, go to the toilet. And we're away here, and it's only just about, no more than about a meter at the back. And in the end, I clocked on. Whenever they came out, I thought, hey, we better go inside. Okay, but wait till the flush. And then came. But those father crew stayed there and opened a fruit shop. My father imported some Chinese haberdasheries, camphor chests and things like that. My mother didn't know English. And she'd come out to serve. And the word, instead of saying hello, and she remembered this word, the word was, yeah.
That just reminds me. Yeah. I remember, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Little short lady,
yes,
every time
yes,
you come
I
out,
she'll
smile and say, yeah.
Yes.
And then in those days, we didn't have any money by adding machinery, it was in the head. And I remember he's still alive, Don Jones, the accountant. He used to come over and buy stuff, and Mum will serve him. And he'd always, being an accountant, I think, he'd always make it all up. And then Mum would tell him it was 4 shillings and 6 pence or whatever it was at that time. And old Don would go through it and he says, yes, you're right, you've never been wrong, but you always. because you had to remember everything. Yes. Yeah. So that's, we had a little fruit shop and we had the little sort of semi-import. Now, imported.
Could your parents read and write in Chinese?
My father was semi-literate in English. My mother, no, definitely not. She was even limited in Chinese script, even though she came from what one would call a Mandarin family, not the eating type, because I always understood Mandarin, what they call Mandarin. The word should be mandarin, which is a fruit, R-I-N-E.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they bastardized it and called it Mandarin. And it used to get me, but I say no more now. But a Mandarin was somebody like an official in our town or something. Yeah. But the war came. Everything went. Boof. And on top of which, he had shares in an insurance company. Insurance company that the whole... the siphon of sectors, and that whole sector, the whole... not the province, but the area of Hakawit or something... is your department, you guys take all the insurance, but it caught fire, and Chinese houses in those days were all wood, burnt very nicely.
So was that quite punitive tax that was specifically for...
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. Was that still...
That was £100. No, yes. We just missed it by about a year or two.
Right.
Yes, it was £100, and £100 in those days was as much as $5,000 equivalent.
Terrible.
So they thought, now he has to go to school. And they hummed and hawed about it, because it's hard to get into an English school. We didn't know anything. They sent me to the convent. And I'm most grateful to the nuns. They taught me, they strapped me, they smiled at me. And Sister Bertman, I spent 6 months in Primer 4 because I was too old, too big, and then a year in Standard 1 as such. And old Sister Bertman, she was very good, except she... they used to take a delight, if you would do it right, giving you the strap, you see, and I thought, oh, that was interesting. But another funny part, I see these kids go up to the desk and put their hands up, mumble something. And then they disappeared, and about 10 or 15 minutes later, they came back. And after about a few weeks of that, I said, there must be something interesting on out there. So I went up, put my hand up, and the nun, Sister Bertman, went, and nodded her head. Oh, great. I toddled out, expecting to see something. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I thought, what the heck they come out for? So I went back in. I did that a couple of times, just to make sure that I was right. And later on I did say, no. Oh, I don't know why they bothered to go out. And then I was sent over to Marist Brothers. Now, during that time, there was no money, absolutely no money. The fruit shop probably had enough to pay Hopwood, the landlord, and my father then tried to sell stuff by going to the various towns with Chinese embroideries and things like that. And to make ends meet, to make ends meet, you had, so-called uniforms, trousers, the shirt, etc. My mother used to make my shirts and my trousers, and my shirts, because kids were rough in those days, they grab your playing foot and they get torn. And so she made domes so that when they got you by the shirt and pulled it, the dome just popped. So you just copped them back up. And when there was a few shillings to buy a pair of trousers, the damn things were between my knees and my ankle that deep, and the idea was for me to grow into it.
Oh, short trousers.
Long shorts.
Yeah.
So back to the situation. And then I sent over, and I stayed 2 years in Form 1 with the Marist Brothers, 2 years in Form 2. And quite frankly, he said, look, your age, you have to go forward, but you don't know the English. So that was all right till I got the Form 3.
So you never spoke English at home?
Only English, only Chinese.
Yes.
Okay. Otherwise, you wouldn't know what you were talking about. Chinese.
So, did you have Kiwi friends your own age that you could play with and learn English through that?
No, because we were in a commercial street as such in the shop. But I had two learned. I had found at school. One was a chap named John Morrill. They lived in Andrew Young Street. There were houses along there. His father worked at the freezing works, and his mother stayed at home. And then the other one was James Higgins, or Jimmy Higgins. They used to own the Club Hotel where the Plaza is now. And it was quite funny. I was the poorest of the poor. John Morrill was the working poor. And this one was the affluent playboy, Jimmy. He had everything that he ever wanted, but we were great mates. And some of the things that people maybe forget, his father had an old Chevy car. Ah, you could call it a Centurion tank today. And while they were away on holiday or something, John would go and unscrew the petrol cap that he had a padlock on, and you'd pip it out, and then would, if there's no petrol, we'd push it along to the Bowser on the corner around your Young Street, where I think her name was Mrs. Bowden, and she'd look at us suspiciously and would put in five shillings worth of petrol or something, and then we'd screw it back up and we'd go off to Humutangi. And these are the days we thought we were great. Funny enough, the guy that was filthy rich, it didn't worry him. We were just great mates, and that's what we did. But that's the sort of childhood background one had. Further along from that, my father... it was first few months in fifth form, school C year. I wouldn't have passed that. The only thing that got me through the classes was drawing. I used to get 80 to 100 marks for that. Drawing, religion, 100 marks, 100% every time. And they said, one of the brothers said, it's a shame, we're not going to see you in heaven. I said, what do you mean you're not going to see me in heaven? Look, I don't, look, I got 100. And I said, because you haven't been baptized. Oh. Okay, I just let it flow. It didn't worry me. That was so funny when he said, wouldn't see me in heaven no matter. So, drawing, religion, and there was...
Woodwork?
Yep. At the old tech school. Those are only things that passed me. Algebra, zero. Geography, zero. Everything else was zero. And I'm still thankful because, look, I have relatives that went to school, and they, for some reason, they won't correctly pronounce some of the words. You still hear them, and they still, instead of saying, oh, see you on Friday, they still, see you Friday. And I found out that the Chinese language do not have certain letters. And that's why during the war, the Americans, used the word when they went off the air and fighter planes, Roger. Because if the Asian tries to say that, the Japanese, we include the Asian, they say Lodger. Like somebody wanting to live here for a while, Lodger. Whereas Roger, they couldn't, and it's the same thing now. It's the fact that tongues can't get around it. I'm skipping a lot of things. So back to what am I going to do? Father got ill, and only child, stop school, take over the fruit shop. Fruit shop? Right. So what do you do? Father had a stroke. And so I went to the cousins, not the cousins, the uncles, and I thought, here's a green cabbage we can have fun with. There were 5 auctioneering shops in King Street in those days. Anyway, I said, uncles, please, what do I do? They says, very easy. When the line of things that you want, it might be cabbages or cauliflowers or leeks, and bring it up for auction, all you have to do is nod. and keep nodding. Okay, that's easy. Nod, 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 nod. Now, instead of that case of cabbage costing 5 shillings or 7 shillings, old Joe Singh nodded till there was 15, 16 shillings.
Oh,
and the auctioneer knocked it down. Right, how many do you want? One case. The other 10 or 12 cases were re-auctioned. The bugger's got it for around about 3 shillings or whatever it was a heck of a... They could sell it. I had to sell mine for, say, 2 for a shilling back at the shop. They could sell theirs for 4 for a shilling. After a few days of this, or something, I just woke up. And what made it worse, the auctioneers never...
I was going to say, they didn't know, didn't explain.
I thought, you cheeky buggers. And so we went on from there, and then, to cut a long story short, we made a living as such. A living was, you had enough to pay the bills, maybe buy some clothes, and my father saved up enough to buy a little van. Funny thing was, when it settled down, the first supermarket turned up on the corner of Pioneer Highway. Oh, I've forgotten the name of that. It might come to me. And I said to Mum, this is it. We can't compete.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.